So if you observed the celebrations for Memorial Day yesterday, you might have seen the beer-bellied folks standing in front of grills flipping burgers. It may not have looked like an advance in human evolution, but in fact, what makes us human just might be our propensity to cook. It's a thesis laid out in a brand new book, Catching Fire, How Cooking Made Us Human. And my guest here at the studios of WGBH in Boston is Richard Wrangham, the Ruth B. Moore Professor of Biological Anthropology at Harvard University's Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology. He is the author of Catching Fire, How Cooking Made Us Human. Professor, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, the idea of what makes us human is in the fossil record. If you look at skeletons of Neanderthals or other sort of link species that link us to apes. But it's also in the fossil record in the sense that what makes us human is what we do. This postulates that it's much more what we do that makes us human than what's actually in our skeletal remains or our DNA, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've got this terrific record of continuity in our fossil bones all the way back to 2 million years and before. But the question is, what is it that was responsible for the changes that we see in our bodies? And one of the extraordinary things is that there's been relatively little change in our bodies over the last almost 2 million years, 1.8 million years, something like that. And then before then, we were much more like chimpanzees standing upright.
Right.
So there was this magic moment almost 2 million years ago, and I think that we haven't yet figured out exactly what happened then.
And something got human beings to stop their hunting and gathering long enough to sit down and think. And you say that that could have been cooking.
Yeah, there's all sorts of evidence for animals that the brain is an extremely expensive organ, and that the way to get a bigger brain over evolutionary time is to find a way to fuel it. And humans have got this really unique way of providing fuel for themselves. You know, unlike every other animal, we use an external source of energy, and it gives us more fuel for our brains.
So cooking created surplus nutrition, right?
Yeah.
Which created leisure time, which created thinking, which created brain evolution. That's the link?
Yeah, it's not quite that. The leisure time is remarkable. We spend something like an hour a day chewing. Actually, most people spend a bit less than that. If we were a great ape of our body size, we'd be spending 5 or 6 hours a day chewing. And that's because the food is just soft. Because one of the great things that cooking does is to make our food soft. And as a result, it changes everything. And it means that we can go off and spend our time doing all sorts of other things other than just simply sitting there chewing.
What in the fossil record suggests that this turning point in cooking actually took place? And have you nailed it down to a particular moment in history?
I think nailed is probably too strong, but I think the evidence is really very impressive indeed that it was at 1.8 million years ago. And here are the two things that happened. At that point, the size of our teeth, our chewing teeth, fell more than at any other time in the story of human evolution. And that coincided with a change in the shape of our ribs and the width of our pelvis that indicates that our guts became small. And at no other time did we have anything like that in the future, in the subsequent almost 2 million years. And so you say to yourself, well, cooking should have had these effects, and here they are having exactly those effects at 1.8 million years ago. That is surely the time when we first began to cook.
You know, the brain is an expensive organ in terms of using a lot of energy. It's also a difficult organ to track in terms of evolutionary biology in the sense that the brain's changes don't show up in the fossil record. How do you begin to track the changes that must have taken place between Neanderthal human beings and modern humans?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know anything about the fine structure of brains at all, but what we do know is the size of the skull and just what its volume is. And the volume of the skull in primates is a very good predictor of the volume of the brain. So what we see in human evolution is a strikingly steady increase in the size of the brain over the last 2 million years. And in this book, what I suggest is that very unusual pattern compared to anything seen in other animals is a consequence of improved techniques of cooking, which give us more and more energy and save us energy in our guts, which can become smaller and working less hard.
Did cooking precede language, in your view?
Well, we know very little about language, but it seems to me likely to have done so, yes, because it seems much more likely that language happened sometime, emerged slowly during the last 2 million years, rather than starting with a bit of a bang. You know, I mean, cooking must have begun with a bang, because once you get the idea of leaning a bit of meat or a tuber or something against a fire, then you very quickly realize that it's an excellent food. I mean, chimpanzees
word gets
do.
Around. I mean, definitely word gets
they
around.
They do, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. What are they doing over there on the other side of the hill? Let's go check that out. Well, I mean, all this is very intuitive, and it's fascinating. I remember when I was a little kid thinking about, you know, this moment that the apes came down from the trees, which was supposed to be so decisive in human evolution. But do other archaeologists say, you know, it's fine to speculate about, but there's no science here?
Well, I wouldn't say that anyone says there's no science, because one of the things we've been able to put together is a terrific evidence about just how much energy is provided by cooking, and you have to deal with that. This is, you know, the most fundamental aspect of biology. Life is, in many ways, just a search for energy. The great difficulty for some archaeologists is that there is no really convincing evidence of the use of fire by humans right at that very early stage.
That's sort of the missing cuisine link in human history that maybe
right.
someday we'll find. Well, Richard Wrangham is the Ruth B. Moore Professor of Biological Anthropology at Harvard University's Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology. He's the author of a fascinating book, Catching Fire, How Cooking Made Us Human. Professor, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.